daydreaming about dragons, and I'm thinking about last night's session. It was an awesome session. We're playing Trophy Gold on Thursday nights with my buddies, and it's going super well. Just really a lot of fun. Really good time. Super good. So I'm thinking about how much fun it was, and then I think about a moment that I think I could have done better. And I just wanted to share how I dealt with that and how I talked to my player, talked to the players, more talked to my friends about that and brought it up and said, hey, you know, we have a Facebook group. So I went onto the Facebook group. That's how we communicate. You know, it's not my preferred way, but they're all on Facebook a lot. And it's just the best way to get in touch with everybody. So Facebook it is. And I started a new post and I said, listen, I have a lot of fun in this game. I'm having a lot of fun. Last night was a blast. Thumbs up all around. But there was a moment I think I could have done better. I just wanted to talk about it and talk about how I think I could have done it better and what I want to do better next time, just for my own development. Okay, so what I didn't do is I didn't like beg for forgiveness. I didn't throw myself at anybody's feet because it wasn't a huge deal what I did wrong. And I'll explain what I did wrong and you'd be like, oh, Judd, that's not a big deal. It was a little moment that I think could have gone better, right? No one left the table in tears. No one was upset. No one was angry. Harsh words were never spoken. It was just like a moment where I noticed a good friend of mine. I felt he had a little bit too much time away from the spotlight. Right? Spotlight sharing is very challenging in role-playing games. And in online games, I find it's even more challenging. And I like smaller groups, right? My sweet spot really is a GM and two players, maybe a GM and three players. And this game is online, and it's a GM and four-player characters, which is a lot for me. Other people, they go up to 9, 10, 12, 15, 20, and they'll just rock out. God's bless them. Me, I think I'd rather, I like smaller groups. It feels more cinematic to me. That's where I'm at. That could change in time. That's where I'm at right today. So what happened? Let me tell you what happened and then I'll go back over, hey, what I did. There's that moment where everybody's kind of, they tricked their way into the Ghoul King's court, pretending to be an emissary from a distant queen. And everybody goes in different directions, right? In a cool way. Everybody starts going after stuff and being proactive. It was awesome. Everybody had a goal. They just started moving and doing what players do. And it was exciting. And I as the GM, as soon as that happens, it feels like you're juggling, right? You could just, the balls go in the air. And you can't really look at any one ball too closely. You just got to kind of keep chucking the balls into the air as they come. And by, you know, balls, I mean kind of dramatic notes, right? Little beats. So in the feast hall is my buddy Drew, and he's playing this former gladiator named Revel, and he's about to get into a fight with the guards, the main body, the main threat. Teo is playing Espa, and he's using magic to try to find where the prisoners are kept, people who the Ghoul King eats. Cool. Aram is pretending to be an emissary from the queen. Him and the Ghoul King go off. The Ghoul King's like, come with me, I gotta show you some stuff. And off they go to be political. And my buddy Jesse is playing Sarai, and he sneaks off. No one's really paying attention to him. He's a kid. He's pretending to be a knight squire, and he just slinks off into the shadows. Cool. He comes up with he rolls to see how that goes, and it comes up with a complication. So I'm like, you're snuck away, but there's one of the guards who peels off to follow you, and you know he's on your trail. Good. I'm juggling back and forth, right? The tension, the moment, the violence, the roles, it's all coming together. And I think When I look back on it, I thought Jesse was sitting a little bit too much. There was just not quite enough spotlight on him. He was being super proactive and cool, and I didn't feel like I gave him the opportunity I could have. He still had opportunities. He still did really fun, cool, awesome stuff. And I'll put a blog post about some of the things that happened with his character. But I thought there was one little thing I could have woven him into another scene, right? Because there was a scene where the Ghoul King was walking Anthony's character, right? All these characters are going off in different directions. And he's like, hey, let's go back to my room. I'll show you my serpent folk artifacts. And we can talk about what the queen really wants and what she can trade to me for that stuff. And if I had let Jesse sneak into that room before they got there, it would have added tension to everybody, right? Because Anthony would have gotten in there. His character would have not known, but Anthony would have known that Jesse is like behind a curtain or a tapestry somewhere, right? And then I'm assuming that's what Jesse would have done. Maybe not, but that's just me guessing. Jesse knows that someone was following him and they might just walk into this room at any moment, right? So there's this like, and Anthony knows that too, but his character doesn't. So there's this like delicious tension that suddenly gets ramped up because I've woven those two characters together. And I think that's a really, when folks split up, let them split up, let them go, and then think about ways to weave things back together. And I think it doesn't just have to be another player is in the room. There are lots of different ways to weave things back together, right? So what happens, let's take an example, right? Characters get to town. They've been adventuring together and like out in the woods together and you know, pooping in bushes together for months. They get back to the city. They drop their gear off at HQ or in the tavern or whatever. And they're like, we're all going to separate places. We're all going in separate directions, right? One way to weave something together is to have one character run into an NPC from another character's background. Right? You want to see one character kind of sit up and go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Put their old friend in another character's scene. Right? That's an easy way to weave things together and start getting characters interested in each other's scenes. That's one way, right? It's a classic DM trick, right? You weave something from a character's background into their own dramatic stuff. But I'm saying don't just weave stuff from a character's background into their own stuff. Weave it into the other character's stuff. Suddenly the characters are now totally interconnected. Suddenly the player is like, oh snap, what are you gonna do? That's my old rival. You know he's a trained assassin like I'm a trained assassin. Right? Or oh no, that's the apprentice, that's the other apprentice to the necromancer. You know, the one who got me ousted from the tower. Oh, God, what? He's in the city? You know, suddenly, like, and let players talk to each other, you know? Hey, you know, is there anything, do you want me to do something here? Do you know, is it cool if I shake him? Do you want me to bring him to you? Like, what do you want? Let him talk it out a little bit. You know, let him talk out of character. You know, don't, metagaming is not a sin. Don't let the sin happen. Sometimes some sinning is good. So that's my thing. Weaving things together, bringing characters together in ways that don't necessarily, it doesn't necessarily have to be physical. They can be all kinds of ways. You know, bring something that's interesting to a different character into another character's scene and see what happens. Because the players know it's interesting, right? Especially if the players know. I mean, and if they don't know, be like, hey, just so you know, this is, you know, your character might not know this, but so you know, this is Jesse's sister. You know, this is Jesse's character's sister. And we know that she's been missing for a long time. She ran off from the adventuring company when he was just a kid. She's clearly, you know, a guard now here. Let's do it. And you know, hey, you know, your brother would really like to see you. What do you mean, my brother? You know? Boom. Drama, drama. Drama llama. Drama llama ding dong. There you go. If you've got experiences weaving, oh, and way back, let's connect it. We're not ready for Inspiration Goat yet. Hold off, Inspiration Goat, hold off. So what did I do? I went to the players. I said, hey, this is a scene. This is what happened. I thought Jesse was sitting at a spotlight too long. I thought he was being aggressive and being proactive and doing cool stuff. And I really felt like I let him sit too much. What I could have done is I told him, like, hey, I could have put him in the room with Anthony's character during that scene. It would have made everything more dramatic. And, you know, four, and I said, you know, two players is my sweet spot. Three players, I'm pretty good. Four players is a bit of a big table, especially online. I'm pretty good at four people around a table, but online, it's much more difficult, right? You're missing a lot of social cues that you normally would have. So I told them, and I was like, hey, this is a weakness of mine. This is something I'm working on. This is what happened. I'll do better next time. I'm just letting you know, hey, I'm working on this. This is an art, and art demands sweat. And this is me sweating. I'm hitting the heavy bag here. If you have any thoughts on anything, let me know. And that's it. And the cool thing that does is it lets them know that you're working on this, right? Let's them know, you know, you don't have to throw yourself at people's feet when you say, hey, I did something wrong at last night's game, especially if it's just a tiny technical thing like that, where I think Jesse could have gotten a couple more minutes of good, fun play and made Anthony's play even better. Like, it's not like a huge sin. If you do a huge sin, then maybe you do need to apologize and don't do it online. Maybe you need to make a phone call or see somebody face to face or, you know, Zoom to Zoom or whatever it is. So this isn't one of those mistakes. This is a small mistake. This is a small technical thing that you think you could have done a little better. And that's how I do it. I don't, you know, the whole thing of like, hey, the GM is like in charge of everyone's fun. I'm very uncomfortable with that. I'm very uncomfortable with that. Everyone is in charge of the fun. Everyone's in charge of the fun. The GM might be a leader in the pursuit of fun. But if you think the GM is responsible for the fun, then you and I have different definitions maybe of what leadership is and what leadership looks like. Because I think leadership is helping everyone collaborate to make everything more fun. It's not taking all the responsibility on my shoulders like Atlas and hefting it. We're deep in the weeds here. My point is, I did something, I could have done it better, I talked about it, and hopefully I will do better next time. Because, you know, this stuff ain't easy. It's simple, but it ain't easy. If it was easy, as my buddy Pabs used to say, if it was easy, everybody would do it. All right. Let me know how you correct mistakes as a GM. Let me know how you reflect as a GM and player at the table. I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to hear how you have those discussions with your friends. I would love to hear about how you use weaving and what techniques you use with your weaving. All right? Sounds good. Now we're ready for some Inspiration Goat. IG, bleed at me, please. Good one, Inspiration Goat. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Kipo and the Age of the Wonder Beasts. A really, really fun cartoon on Netflix. Check it out. Post-apocalyptic. Girl underground, but above ground. There's definitely is a Wizard of Oz, Alice in Wonderland, but a post-apocalyptic vibe to it. All right, what do I want to talk about? I want to talk about the main villain, who you don't see for the first half of the series, and they are called Scarlemagne. And if that's not the coolest name, I think it's the coolest name I've ever heard. And as soon as I heard the name in the show, I couldn't stop thinking about it. Who is Scarlemagne? I've got to know. And it reminds me of Apocalypse World. There's an MC move called Announce Future Badness. And that's what Scarlemagne was. I heard the name Scarlemagne and it was just announcing future badness. It was, that is, I don't know who that is, but I think they're kind of a bad person. And they're dangerous and they are looking to take over. And they told me all that with a name, which is amazing. I love it. Love it, love it. Cool. How does this relate to gaming? I think my recommendation, the way I would use this is, you know, announce your villain early. I think the interesting part isn't necessarily finding out who the villain is. It's what the players will do when they find out who the villain is. And naming them early, before they ever meet, gives them mystique and gives the players time to chew them over and talk about them and think about them and daydream about them before they ever meet them. And if you're wondering what they're thinking, you can ask them, hey, you know, you heard this name. You heard, who do you think they are? What do you think they're about? What have you heard about them? What has your character heard about them? You know, kind of reminding me a little bit of The Usual Suspects, Verbal Quint, you know, kind of talking himself up. You get to find out, the players get to kind of say what they've learned about their, say what their characters learned about them. And if they're not interested in saying anything, they can say, hey, well, I haven't heard anything about them. All I know about this person is their name. You know, how can I learn more? That's a cool way to go too. But that's what Scarlemagne said to me. It's announcing future badness. It is, you know, it's Empire Strikes Back mentioning the Emperor, and then you don't see the Emperor until, you know, you see a hologram, but you don't really meet the Emperor until the third movie. And that gave the Emperor a ton of mystique. Same thing with Scarlemagne, same thing with your villains. Announce them early, plant that seed, let it take root in the ground, and so it can grow and be mysterious for a bit, you know? That's all. I always try to not hide things unless there's a really good reason. And if I do find myself hiding something, I question it, because I used to do that. I ran a Deadlands game in college. And I made a lot of, I think, young GM mistakes. And one of the mistakes is we, the whole idea of the Deadlands game that we played was that they were part of a traveling show. So they would travel from town to town, right? And the joke was, it's not a circus, it's a traveling show. And I don't know why that was a joke, but it was an in-game joke. So they went from town to town, and the first session of the game, they would go around town and try to find things, and I would hide them. And I would put obstacles in their way. And I would have all these cool things in my notes. And I would not show the players any of it. And then the second session, I would start to show things. And then the third session, the players would start to get the idea of what actually was going on. And then session 4 or 5, maybe things got resolved and done. And boy, was that a waste of time and energy. Just hiding things and obfuscating. And what a ridiculous waste of energy and time and drama. Just silly. And the game that taught me how to get away from that was Dogs in the Vineyard by Vincent Baker. No longer out. I'll give you the short version. You are a kid out in pre-statehood quasi-Utah, and the elders in their infinite wisdom give you a book and a gun and tell you to go out and solve problems. And you do. And it's a terrible idea, because terrible ideas make for fun games. A terrible idea in that it's a terrible idea to give a child a book and a gun and tell them to go solve problems, right? Right. I think we're agreed on that. We should be. Dogs in the Vineyard is the game that told me, do not hide that stuff. So when players would walk into town, like, I'd have a kid run up to them and be like, are you here to shoot the steward for being drunk? And not doing his job. And like the players would just sigh, be like, let's go to see the steward, you know? And that wasn't necessarily the whole problem. There was more to unveil. But like, kids are a great, NPCs who are kids are a great way to do that. You know, have them run up to the heroes, you know? Are you here to solve the werewolf problem? Werewolves have been killing people in our village for years. It's a problem. Every full moon, some people say we should just offer up a sacrifice. Start worshiping a wolf god. I don't know. That my dad says that's a bad idea. What is your... Well, my dad says your dad's stupid. Blah, 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 blah. Just have the kids come up and just start parroting crap they heard their parents say. Don't hide it. Because really, the interesting thing is, what are the players going to do with that information? How are they going to solve this problem? Even if it's a simple problem, like werewolves in the village, the oldest problem there is. Maybe not the oldest. You get the idea. Kipo and the Age of the Wonder Beasts. I would love to hear what you think of it. I would love to hear about how you announce future badness in your game. How do you grow mystique for your villains? And what's going on at your game table? All right, let's get to the outro. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to support this show, there's a way you can do it. I have published a PDF of a mini supplement. It's a bunch of treasure tables. It was made for Trophy Gold, but I think you could use it for any fantasy RPG where a D6 might be handy at the table. Check it out. It's $2, and all of the proceeds are going to go to a couple of cool charities. It's all in the description. The link to it is in the show notes. Please check it out. It's one of the ways I'm trying to use my geekery to make the world a little bit of a better place, because things are a little strange right now, as you might have noticed, I'm sure. I hope things are going well for you. Thank you so much for listening. The other way you can support this show that has nothing to do with money is you can send me an email. You can send me a tweet. Send me a question. Send me a statement. Let me know what's going on at your table. I would love to hear about it. You can also send me an MP3. You can go to the Anchor app and you can send me a message. You have to do that a minute at a time. But if you want to send me a couple in a row, that's totally fine. I would love to hear from you. And once I do, if I can, and I will put it on a Wednesday reply show. Okay? Great. I will see you next week, and I'll talk to you soon. Be well. Wash your hands. You know the drill.